So Leute, ich bin am Start, am Mikrofon, am Start meines Podcasts und will heute mein Pulver trocken halten. Ich will eine kleine Folge machen, eine kurze, weil ich erstens krank bin, aber zweitens fühle ich auch eine moralische Erschlaffung. Schon seit gestern, seit ich da draußen war, im Ort, im wunderschönen Ortskern hier, in so einem kleinen Städtle, wo ich wohne und mich heimisch fühle, aber da ist es immer so, man geht raus irgendwie in diese Citoyen-Welt. Man weiß nicht, was ist das für eine Welt. Und eigentlich bin ich da ja gar nie. Ne? Ich rausche so durch die Stadt. Meistens gehe ich da einkaufen in einer größeren Stadt, wo ich arbeite. Aber jetzt, dann gestern eben mal wieder hier beim Arzt. Dann lernt man das alles kennen. Ach ja, das sind ja wirkliche Leute, die hier auch wohnen und arbeiten. Wie dieser Arzt, der da ja auch jeden Tag in seine Praxis kommt. Und ja, also da spiele ich diesen Menschen geordnet und bürgerlich, aber das hinterlässt dann auch einen Abdruck in mir, habe ich das Gefühl. Einen unguten Abdruck, wo ich mich frage, bin ich dann so authentisch, wie wir es scheinbar heute sein müssen? Diese Citoyen-Welt zwackt mir ja was ab von meiner Authentizität, nicht wahr? Aber ja, ich hatte da einfach ein ungutes Gefühl dann moralisch gesehen, weil ich war beim Arzt und dann danach aber noch beim Bäcker und dann noch einkaufen. Ja, ich muss mich ja versorgen, aber dachte dann, hey, sollte ich mich nicht eigentlich eher ausruhen, wie der Arzt empfohlen hatte? Und dann nach dem Heimkommen hat auch noch genieselt, bin nass geworden. Und dann gleich Podcast und da fühlte ich auch schon, ja, das ist jetzt schon eine Überanstrengung. Du solltest doch dich wirklich schonen. Und ja, also da, das muss ich ganz klar sagen. Da habe ich irgendwie ja mein Pulver nicht trocken oder ich kann es nicht beschreiben. Aber für heute sage ich mal, wow, jetzt ist die Sonne wieder rausgekommen. Da kann ich ja nachher noch einen Spaziergang machen und habe mir das einfach ganz klar vorgenommen, dass ich eine kurze Folge machen muss. Ich habe nicht viel auf dem Kasten, also ich sag mal über Budget. Das können wir vorerst abschließen, weil es gibt noch witzige Parts darin. Aber ich will jetzt mal wieder zurück zu Imperialismus kommen. Die Arbeit daran geht voran. Aber Budget, ich sag mal, da können wir dort nochmal drauf zurückkommen. Vielleicht kann ich davor auch nochmal eingreifen. Und diese wirkliche schriftstellerische, schriftsetzerische Arbeit da angehen, die Worte richtig setzen und so. Ja, das wäre schon gut, glaube ich. Und das Wichtige daran war aber nur, dass es mir dieses Selbstbewusstsein gibt. Weil ich hatte da jetzt das Selbstbewusstsein irgendwie erfahren durch diese Lektüre und das Hören der letzten Folgen. Ja, das ist ja doch eine gute Idee und es klingt so versponnen, verschachtelt, ja. Ich rede da was vom Budget und das ist irgendwie eine philosophische Frage, auch mit der Gesundheit oder eine Zeitgeistfrage, mit der Kultur, mit der historischen Kultursituation, in der wir leben, Gesundheit und Kapital und so weiter. Und dann geht es aber nur um Kulinskow, ja, irgendwie, weil ich da meine privaten biografischen Aufwallung dann verarbeiten musste. Und aber es macht alles Sinn, sag ich mal, oder zumindest ich wäre in der Lage, habe ich das Gefühl, das alles zu verarbeiten zum Roman, der wirklich auch aus diesem Stoff besteht. Vielleicht ist das in Kulinskow dann gar nicht so der zentrale Part oder kann man rausstreichen, ich weiß nicht. Aber jedenfalls, ja, dieser Stoff irgendwie, das Budget wird geklaut von der einen Abteilung oder jedenfalls da wird was über Kreuz geordert. Ja, genau, die andere Abteilung kann dann ja was. Die andere Abteilung kann ja aus eurem Budget was ordern. Vielleicht kann man das Problem dann so lösen auf Porsche-Seite. Ja, auch eine gute Idee. Und dadurch ergeben sich aber neue Verwicklungen. aber irgendwie, ja, dass Nirvan Porsche dann diese Idee hat mit dem Superzündschlag wegen seiner jungen Geliebten, weil er nicht weiß, was kann er hinterlassen. Sein Erbe, ne? Und das ist das, ja, und dann mit Kolinskow, der da irgendwie da reingerät. Und ja, jetzt vielleicht macht es doch Sinn, das mit Imperialismus in Verbindung zu bringen, aber ich habe das Gefühl, ja, ich weiß es nicht. Ich muss da einfach dranbleiben, vor allem an Imperialismus jetzt. Und das meine ich mit dem Selbstbewusstsein. Es gibt mir dieses Gefühl, ja, diese Geschichte, die kann so zusammengefügt werden mit dem Superzündlück. mit Kolinska, vielleicht mit seiner Kollegin Belinda oder Amanda. All das, ja, macht schon irgendwo Sinn, dass er dann nämlich flieht, Kolinskow. Das ist so der nächste Handlungsschritt, weil er das eben nicht mehr aushält, dieses Unwissen. Amanda, hat sie seine Tweets gelesen oder nicht? Und sie würde ihn so dermaßen ins Kreuzfeuer nehmen. Würde er nun mal aufschauen, würde sich nur verkriechen. Und deshalb nimmt er sich dann Sabbatical und geht dann auf Reisen. So war ungefähr diese Idee. Aber ja, mir reicht es einfach so. Und ich habe daran auch bei Macron gedacht, dass Macron dieses Werk deckt so große Handlungsbögen ab, dass die sich gar nicht wirklich wiedergeben lassen literarisch, sondern da kann man nur so Andeutungen machen. Da ist es eine Plotskizze, das ist wie ein Romanentwurf, den man da mal kurz runterschreiben kann, aber man kann nicht das Ganze ausformulieren. Und diese Idee hatte ich schon mit Macron. Aber die sollte ich wirklich auf Macron anwenden, denke ich. Und ja. Also es kann einfach nicht so männlich sein. Das ist das Ding mit Macron. Man kann nicht alles zu Ende führen und dann ganz am Ende als dieser vollendete Macher dastehen, der dieses Werk geschaffen hat. Und mit Budget, ja, habe ich jetzt das Gefühl, wow, das ist doch eine gute Sache, ist eine gute Geschichte. Aber ich muss sie jetzt für den Moment ruhen lassen, liegen lassen, irgendwie so wie auch Macron und so vieles andere leider. Aber ich muss mich einfach fokussieren. Ich muss mein Leben wirklich danach ausrichten, nach diesem Künstlertum. Und genau. Gotta mention this in English to you, Lilia. Don't know if you even listen anymore, because maybe you feel hurt. Because I was so excited also about Soriana and Manita. And how can you be this way, man? What am I? But, Lilia, we have to tell you that you are the biggest muse for me. I have to turn this around again and yeah, correct myself here and say that it's not Soriana who is the biggest muse in art for me, but you, because it all got clear to me because of this glitteriness. I wrote about this glitzhaftigkeit that in your eyes, but in the essence of your being, there's also glitteriness that I like so much. Gives me so much fondness and wanting to match you, also counter you, counter this glitteriness. Therefore, I have to write in this way, and will write even more. Can invent even more words. I mean, glittery, glitzer is a real word in German. Just glitzerhaftigkeit doesn't exist, and I invented it. And glitteriness in English exists. So yeah, this is the reason you are this one of a kind muse that is clear to me when I look at you. This is already art. Everything you do and each movement that you do, this is art. But with Soriana, it's completely natural. This is the thing. It's working. Therefore, it's the other way around. Is this what I stated some episodes ago, that yeah, Soriana, maybe she's a muse for life. She really brings me to this point where I have to produce and say, yeah, it doesn't matter. I always feel this insecurity about my art, and I should compose the perfect art, but I can't. So I rather yeah, go on and not do anything, because I feel it's gonna be imperfect anyway. But Zoriana, she shows me this clearly somehow, that yeah, she is in a way, it's irresistible, this what she radiates, this energy and vigor and vibrancy, and simply never give up and always ongoing. And yeah, it's like this, but this doesn't mean. This has to do then also with my art production, but it's not even the point. I mean, don't want to compare you girls on anyway, just that you, Lilia, I discovered this also through reading and reflecting these texts, that how much they are based on this inspiration that you give to me, and that yeah, it's really this glitteriness and glitteriness, right? I never talked about the clitoris. This is what I thought. Always talking about vulva, and maybe we should get to this point into the vulva theory also again. But there is this in you, Lilia, that's making me feel so fond of you and wanting to soak up all this that you have there, these little gestures and this appearance that you appear like a princess, or you're simply curious, right? What you can do to men, like when you're there, standing there at Soriana's place, and then you always wonder, what is he going to see in me and what can I do? And it's so cute in you. And can't resist you, of course, and man, and therefore I can't talk English so much more. Yeah, sorry, but yeah, I can, because I translate this work, Imperialism, and sorry, it's about Aluna today, but just because I got not picked up some conversation she had last week with her supervisor there, and I used this indirectly here in my writing, and I think we can dive right into it, because today I have to be short, really don't want to let too much slip out again, and so let's dive right into it. Come, Schindler und Aluna. So this is now from Imperialism. The absent Lilia is sick this Monday. She has been in bed since Friday. Aluna also stayed at home on Friday to work from there and to look after poor Lilia a little. Well, I translated this again with Google Translator. Don't know even if it's legal, right? Always these legal questions. But it's not that perfect, I think, this translation. But let's move on. Let's see. I could also translate the speech by Dr. Stierbeck, but this is, of course, very brutal. And I thought, yeah, maybe you already read it or translated it to Ukrainian to read. But you don't have to read. If you want, I can also read it here in English. Just that it's very, very geschmacklos. It's, yeah, mischievous, also bösartig, geschmacklos, without taste, without this thing that the French have, right? Yeah. But let's go on in this text here. For reasons of the company's internal hierarchy and the reassuring balance between the departments and department heads, the two young workers are each assigned to different managers. Schindler is responsible for Aluna and instructs her in her project tasks, while his opponent, Messner, is formerly Lilia's superior, but she has less to do with him, since she is exclusively working on a research and new development project that is being carried out by the busy, unstoppable gentleman Umbrak, and guided and driven forward with fervor by him. Schindler, on the other hand, seems delighted that such a young and self-confident woman is now under his command. He takes the opportunity to strike up a conversation with Aluna. He ponders grimly what he could say to her. Don't know what this means, ponders. He überlegt. I got this feeling about him, about this character I based this fictional person on, that also he is like me and like maybe all of us, that we really were shy, inhibited, and we have to think, oh, what could I say? And I got this feeling also when he went there to talk to you, Aluna, that, yeah, he thought, oh man, I wanted to tell her, but how do I do? He's also nervous, of course. But let's move on. What he could say to her. Damn it, he thinks. There's a taste, a hint of sexual harassment. If I gossip about the weather with her, or even compliment her blouse or glasses. So no, that's not possible. I'm forced to come around the corner. Come around the corner with something business. Some business talk. After all, my position as head of department is useful for this. I have to manage the workers and there are certain regulations, like those that you should come to work. Working from home has become a habit for the older established employees. But we should probably make it clear to such a young jumper that you have to earn this privilege slowly and cannot work from home several days a week in the first year. So yeah, I just want to comment on this sexual harassment. I don't want to describe Schindler in this way that he's somehow looking just for some kind of contact to a beautiful girl. But in a way, yeah, it's always pleasant to talk to someone, and why shouldn't you? And I didn't mean to come this around this way, that, yeah. But I don't know what you think, that what I heard he made also compliment to you last week. And yeah, I think it's good, or I found it good also what he said about Ukraine in January. He asked you about, hopefully the new year is going to be better than the old one for Ukraine. And you said then, yeah, everything's going to be all right. I hope, honestly. But I found it a nice gesture from him, and this is what I meant, that he's somehow more social than the rest of the employees. They're all this shy and self-conscious and locked inside their own world. But he's like this. At times, at least, he tries to do this and say something nice like this about Ukraine. And let's move on. So he stops with his coffee mug in front of the beautiful Alona, who with the irresistible shimmer of her skin and her youthful innocence gives the impression of a baby, or at least an innocent child. Schindler: Hello, Alona. I have seen the progress you are making in your work with Mr. Kwan. All attention. Well, alle Achtung in German. No, this is the wrong translation. Great. Great. Wow, awesome. Alle Achtung. Awesome. I certainly wouldn't have been able to program like this when I was young. You really are an asset and a stroke of luck for our company. But I wanted to tell you one thing. Since you were at home last Friday, Lilaya was ill, and it's normal to stay at home. But if you don't have anything yourself and are healthy, you should come to work, that is, here to the office. It's just better so that Mr. Kwan can properly train you. Alona: Yes, sure. I just wanted to take care of Lilaya, who was ill. Schindler: But unless she's feeling so bad that she really needs help at home, you should always come to our office. In this project, it is important that you work on site, not like in the last one, where it was also possible to work from home. Alona: Yes, it's just that I don't really like the coffee here either. So excuse me, of course I don't want to say anything against the company. But the coffee machine is quite old and run down. It brews piss water that you would actually have to pour straight down the drain. If you didn't know that at work, it's always good to feel a little caffeine kick seeping into your brain. So that's why I stayed at home on Friday. Because we happen to have an Italian machine, a perfect, fully automatic machine that spits out the aroma of the coffee beans so unfiltered and clear that you could think you were sitting in the middle of the jungle and just had the coffee bean picked up straight from the bush, ground them up and made a coffee there with the primitive means at hand. Because although the Ukrainian company I work for, Ayurveda, is generally very stingy, You have to give them credit for the fact that the house they put us in is ideally equipped with all the necessary household appliances and leaves nothing to be desired. So this is the name Ayurveda, because I find this is also a Wortspiel upon words, that Ayurveda, what is this even? Some kind of Far East medicine or healthy practice? Ayurveda, but Ayurveda is also like Ovaya. This is a nice expression in German. Ovaya is like Ove is oh dear. Oh, like I wrote also in my poems a couple of times, oh dear, especially when I talk about you, Zoriana or Alona. That, yeah, is always this this expression, oh dear. Ovaya. Ayurveda. This is a funny name. Schindler. Oh, that must be a rich company. But tell me, Alona, I don't even know you, that you're so bubbly and a whole torrent of words breaks out of you. Is it something special that you are so lively today? No, nothing really. I got up with a smile on my face and, oh yes, of course, yesterday Mr. Umbrak invited me to an interview and I was very satisfied and happy to hear that the company UPIC would like to keep me here longer and work directly with me, bypassing them vultures from Ayurveda, who squeeze everything from us and actually only put us here, nothing more. Vultures, nice guy, huh? Schindler, ah yes, then Mr. Umbrak told you that we are looking for a way to buy you out of your contract. Yes, exactly, and of course that flattered me a little, to think that I am so valuable, a young creative commodity on the job market that all companies are scrambling for and are even willing to pay tens of thousands of euros for my change from one to the other company. Well, I don't even know how much it really would be. Mr. Umbrak just meant that Ayurveda could basically set any amount by which we could leave them, because, well, contractually it's all watertight. Wasserdicht. Lilaya and I are bound to Ayurveda with our contracts for an indefinite period of time, downright tied up or gagged. Well, or at least for years. I mean, this doesn't make sense. Indefinite, you can't have a slave contract, but maybe it's for a couple of years that there you are bound to them. And Schindler. Yes, that's what I thought too. It's probably the business model of this company, and that's why they have such nice, richly stocked houses in which they can put you recruits or recruited volunteers for use in the German labor market. They write it in your contracts that after the loan period to a German or EU company has expired, you are obliged to work for them, Ayurveda, on any projects in Ukraine for so many years. But that's probably just an excuse in order to transfer you for a high fee to those German companies that have already worked with you and are aware of your competence. Alona. Exactly. And the selection training there in Ukraine is so tough anyway. The seven there, they just pick the roses. They just pick the raisins, the most capable workers, and send them to Europe. That's why practically no incompetent workers arrive here anyway, who could then disappoint the expectations of German companies. Schindler. And that's how these German companies, like us as UPIC too, lick our fingers to keep those workers in their ranks, who are now already well acquainted with the subject and have been trained in their respective customer projects here in Germany. A win-win deal. It's just annoying for us, of course, that Ayurveda can then haggle for the transfer fee. It's almost as if you were soccer players who were paid millions in transfer fees. Alona? Yes, it seems a bit like that to me. And that would also make me proud, like Andrei Shevchenko, to move to other European countries, to Milan or... But don't worry, Mr. Schindler, I'm so grateful to your company and I only wish to be able to continue working here in the bosom of Yupik. Never would I currently be thinking about wanting to go somewhere else. Schindler, of course, we're happy about that. We're happy to see a talented and highly motivated employee like you in our ranks. With these words and a broad grin, Schindler says goodbye and hurries into the coffee kitchen to pour himself a cup or a whole pot of that blackish brew that Alona had so critically evaluated. So I just was unsure about the name of Shevchenko, right? Because you, Alona, are also, you know, about football. Yes, you're interested in football. And Shevchenko, of course, he was a great player. But I don't know his first name. Is it really Andrei? Yeah, Andrei Shevchenko. And he played for Milan. Long time. He was a, what you would call him in German is begnadet somehow, this word. He's gifted because, yeah, somehow he's a certain touch and a feeling for the ball that is really rare. And yeah, Dynamo Kiev, AC Mailand, Milan, Chelsea, then back to Milan and then Kiev. So, yeah, I can't say so much more. I mean, what else can I say, really? I find this interesting, yeah, this talking about commodities in the market, and of course, maybe, yeah, this is double knife. Maybe on one hand, it could make you feel flattered to be traded in this way, like, yeah, tens of thousands of euros that were... This was what you said, Lilia. You said that they could put in any number when you talked to, you were talking there to Mr. Umbrak, and said, yeah, anything. But I don't know, it also makes me feel like your commodities, and this is exactly a great point to illustrate this, what I brought up already in the TSY episodes back then, that somehow we made feel like we're all goods on the market. And this is a perfect example. You're being traded, and this is the business model of Ayurveda. They have all these Ukrainian programmers there, and then want to merchandise them like a merchandise, like a commodity here on the market. And therefore, they have all these houses. And I don't know if they're really that good equipped with these coffee machines. Just wanted to put this in to demonstrate that... It can be also daring and dazzling as a young worker. It can really also complain about the quality like I don't dare to. But maybe, Floriana, one day you would like to... Yeah, because I didn't give the speech on last Wednesday and didn't dare to think of this. We should found a workers' council and should be fighting for better... for a larger tea kitchen there. This is not good. Should be greater so we can also sit there and chat, and this kitchen is already full with two people and you can't even move. Of course, it could have something erotic, but also could lead into the sexual harassment direction. And yeah, so there's a lot that we could ask and that I ask of you, of course, because I'm too shy. So please feel like this. You're now soon to be an official co-worker, and the only thing I hope is that yeah, you want to think in it, on it, think about a transfer like Shevchenko. He then moved to Chelsea, but it's never this good. Of course, you can earn more at Chelsea, these English clubs, but I think he would have also enjoyed it more playing for Milan some more years, because yeah, that's where he already grew into. He knew the team, and so yeah, they don't pay that good, these Italian or German firms. But of course, in programming, it's not like this. In programming here in Germany, well, I don't know. But man, I gotta say, my own salary is not that high. Of course, now I work also not much, but it's really below the average of this branch of this line of production, I think. And you could surpass me there, right? If your internship ends and you get a real contract, I mean. But of course, I would like this, especially you, Zoriana. I already know that, yeah, you are this way already more valuable to the firm, probably because of the way you're working, and probably there, yeah, or you should also insist on this, of course, then in the negotiation, that you are really valuable and you have seen this, you got the feedback from several co-workers that they appreciate your performance, like I, of course, appreciate it, and Mr. Kwan and so on. And yeah, therefore you could ask for a lot, I think, like, I don't know, but like 40,000 would be the minimum, right, to enter in a job. 45,000 now with inflation, 50,000 should be the brutto. What does this mean, brutto? The salary over a year, the gross salary, of course, not the net, but the gross, 50,000 a year. And okay, but this just as an aside, and I don't know if I can go on any longer. Yeah, let me read this poem about you, Zoriana. I composed it a month ago, and why not get it all out? It also makes me feel bad now about Lilia and Manita, but I mean, this is so absurd, right? I told this clearly. What did I even tell? That it's not even that important, or right now, to think about erotic realization with you, or but yeah, of course, it could be hurting even to think about another girl, and but why? I mean, could just drink coffee, and why would this be something bad then? And yeah, I mean, either way, I'm going to think about other girls, and where is really this line that is getting crossed, like when you have a date or when you have sex, or I don't know where this line is. So let's read this poem about you. Alice Zoriana, you the dawn, the young unborn Venus, the water froths up in the sea of reason that spills into the Aegean Sea. The waves rock, but nothing keeps me spellbound as your sight. You with white brilliant skin, you're young, don't worry, draw your circles, energetic, full of lust, because you know no mercy. For what reason? Take care of the man who you strike down, shoot out. You turn your neck, stretch incredulous, but you are modest, head bowed. Do you go your own way purposefully? No eyes for us who doubt. And I, also man, just a man, nothing more. So I have to write to you your youthful resilience, to be fair. You hold it like steel girders, buildings of the world together, by your grace, your mischievous existence. Well, this translation is not good, but yeah, mischievous, böse, says through with this evil. Without retreat, without a double bottom, you are present, surrender. The glow of your skin hits me, strikes me down. I just wanted to be with you forever. Be sure, sure, that I'm interesting enough for you. Cause you're losing patience. You are stubborn, stoic, but also let your emotions run free. Alice, if the lightning of your anger struck me, but that's why you should meet me. I need to know what this bump looks like. You shall be mine. I want to own you. And we can do well as lovers, sensual, happy as the interaction of two young bodies and spirits. What attracts me is your innocence that grows from youth, the naturalness that you pour out without on you. The natural that you pour out without being able to hold. Later ages might discipline you, shy you, make you more deliberate, but not today. You walk along unperturbed. You draw your circle stoically. Nothing is holding you back. When you work, you are in your world. Here you are mistress and everyone sees what a brilliant worker you are, what strength you show, how precisely your hands grab their material. Wherever you put your hands, the best work will thrive. You set everything up to complete productivity. And why don't you get up to make tea or scurry to the toilet? And when? And when you get up to make tea or scurry to the toilet, then you do it despondently, reluctantly, but also upright, upright and without hesitation. You know what you want, what you have to want. Now it's time for a break, a cup of tea. But you crouch slightly, drop graceful shoulders I want to bite into. That's how much I like their arc shape, reminiscent of Italian church arcs and arcade lines. Your plump outfit adorns you so much. Plump? Yes, these so-called feminine lines. Well, there's no denying femininity about you, and she is beautiful as worn by you. It never occurs to me what to do in this life, and I think too long. Society has got me back. She is very smart, and I can't do anything, whether you want to rebel or follow. Trace and pay tribute, both are wrong, heralds my downfall, cause society is playing me out. But you, Zoriana, you are a very different being. The little society, the affection of a little human being, human stuff, sitting across from me. When we work quietly, then I feel like me, your presence, your being here and working. Good thing how I breathe a sigh of relief. Freer, more exhilarated, ready for tough cramming, solving problems, thinking through constructions. That's how I go to work, but only because I see you, and you take away all my fears of society. A being pure and clear like you, that shows me how small and insignificant I and all my affairs are. The main thing is that you have something to do, work forward, just like you do, set an example for me. You are my mistress, and yes, if you insist, can I teach you a thing or two? Tell you something about Marxism or something, but you've already told me the most important thing, and if I can, I will always remember it and obey. The work, the desire to strictly isolate all programming problems, the stringent advance into the jungle of manual puzzles, Nothing is holding you back, stops you. Not the sexual tension, erotic temptations. My God, why is this so long? Should I even have started this field now? Really don't have the strength today to finish this, and really gotta say that maybe we should leave it at this, because wow, I have to take it all back. This is of course I have to take this back and say that I only wanted to love Manita and Lilia, but it's all a mess and love, that's crazy, right? But I also want to create this mess because, yeah, like with Picasso, this one woman was complaining that he had other lovers and how is this then to be thought of? Of course, it's the normalcy, you can't think past this, but yeah, my standpoint being that, yeah, it could be possible if you plan ahead and theoretically lay the foundations, and this is what I do here. But through this work, it might get impossible to love actually materially right now, and that's okay. I mean, it's okay. It's just that my fight that, yeah, that I have to say this, that love is somehow equal, and I don't want to value anyone higher than the other one. And but to know this, that it could be that you could believe me, my girls, is a very hard struggle and a long journey, I guess. And wow, today's episode, I feel this was maybe a blunder. This was wow. But it had to be this way. I had this feeling I'm really morally in a moral problematic situation, and can't tell anything more than this. I'm weak today, I'm really sick, and don't know what did this poem even express. Shouldn't have expressed all this, but well, okay, yeah. But it goes on still. Next time I will have more strength, and yeah, we'll could. Why is this even so long, this poem? No, but can't love monopolistically, but still with you, Lilia, I feel that it has to be now explored with you, and at least to see each other again and to talk again. And yeah, that I'm really crazy and you can't blame me for what I do. When you do this to me and you deprive me, you rip me of this highest value that once shined in my life last autumn, these conversations with you, then this really gets me sick and really, really yeah, nothing more to say. I'm empty, like I never was, maybe, or at least I'm in a crazy situation now. And let's look for a song. What could we even play something for today for the outro? Let's play this song. Yeah, what I already announced last time. If you want love, this is this dialectical pain play. Also, you have to go through pain, and this is stated in this song. And there's also a good song by Kate Tempest, War Music. Should get back to this, writing about the war in this imperial text. And yeah, but now let's Let's close this problem, this program, and say goodbye and good night.
I just need some time, I'm trying to think straight. I just need a moment in my own space. Ask me how I'm doing, I say okay, yeah. But ain't that what we all say? Sometimes I think back to the old days, in the pointless conversations with the old me, yeah. Back when my mama used to hold me, I wish somebody would've told me. If you want love, you gon' have to go through the pain. If you want love, you gon' have to learn how to change. If you want trust, you gon' have to give some away. If you want love, if you want love, yeah. As a kid, I used to think life was moving so slow, I watch it go by. Look out the window of my bus ride, I thought the world was so small through my closed eyes. I've always tried to control things, in the end that's what controls me. Maybe that's why I'm controlling. I wish somebody would've told me. If you want love, you gon' have to go through the pain. If you want love, you gon' have to learn how to change. If you want trust, you gon' have to give some away. If you want love, if you want love. The older I get, I feel like I'm always trying to save time. Talking to the voices in my head that make me think twice. Telling me it doesn't mean it's wrong because it feels right. Scared that one day I wake up and wonder where the time go. Talk about the past like it's the present while I rock slow. I'll sit in the living room and laugh with kids of my own and tell them.
If you want love, you gon' have to go through the pain.
I wish you would've told me.
If you want.